Well, good morning. How's everybody doing with this spring weather we're having now? I hope everybody's doing well, and we're glad that you're here this morning. And we want to welcome all of you and welcome those that will be checking in with us later this week online and listening to the service. A little bit later on, we're going to be tackling a little bit of how does hope coexist with trials and pain. And as we look at some of those resurrection messages from Peter over the next few weeks, if I stay in that direction there. So let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria this morning. Glory be to the Father. Join together there for our call to worship this morning in the bulletin. God, you call us by name to gather us in Christ's name.
Enjoy worship.
Rising out of the depths of despair,
we gratefully gather for worship.
In joyful hope,
we
come, let us worship. Well, let's join together there and sing one of my favorites, Crown Hymn with Many Crowns. If you want the hymn book, it's 51. Join together there for our opening prayer this morning. Generous God, we thank you for your presence with us. As we gather, we are reminded of the times when we have doubted and feared. Transform us with the memory of the resurrection of Jesus. Remind us again that through all our troubles, doubts, and fears, your power, mercy, and love are with us. Amen. And you may be seated. You're going to be reminded of a chorus that we sang a long time ago. And I don't know why I forgot about it, so we could have kept singing it. But we are going to sing it this morning. There are three verses. Many churches sing the first verse only, but there are three verses to this. And I hope you'll pick it up pretty quickly. It's pretty easy this morning here. And Carla's a little nervous about it.
As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longeth after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I love to worship you.
So we're going to go to our time of prayer this morning, and maybe if you have a joy or concern, we're going to let you have a chance to share those this morning. So somebody this morning who wants to begin. Yeah.
Well, Carl and I have a great joy in Matthew got home safe. He's home in Kansas with his family.
Yes, and we are very thankful for that. I kind of got a preview because I asked her and she already told me this morning. So, but that is good. That is good. So we're thankful for that. Somebody else, yes.
Just moving Dad to the retirement center this week, and just prayers for smooth transition. And
yes. Yep. Yeah, we know all that that's involved with that. So definitely want to keep you in our prayers there. Somebody else. Yeah. Someone else this morning.
Well, Yeah, to pay the arguments to what's employed to. And then the concerns that Ron obtained were Greg Baker and Gene Cabal, and we still should be friends from Georgia. Smoke, and Jody's gonna have hip surgery. Jody Crum on April 27th.
Thank you, I did not know that.
And Greta Maxley Whitney with her heart.
Did you say Greta?
Yeah.
And so issues with her heart?
Yeah, she was back in the hospital, but she's home now. She has AFib in there. And then we need to be praying for our world with the world with our dream.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yes, Georgia, Greg, Gene, they're all on the monthly calendar. They've been on there for a while, but yeah, we want to remember them. I have Smoke on the list there. Well, he's been moved to the monthly. And speaking of that, we want to pray for Jeff. Boy, I was confused this week. I thought I lost my mind. I thought Smoke had appendix burst, and it was Jeff. But Jeff, he didn't look so hot when I saw him earlier this week, but Karen said he got to come home, was it yesterday? And so thank God for that. Plus he can rest in his own bed and get better sleep and everything. But yes, and because we were concerned because it had burst about infection. And that's usually the issue when it comes with your appendix with that. So we want to continue or lift up Jeff. I think the prayer chain may have known about that, I think. But somebody else. Yes.
Joy would be Trenton Maxson graduated this weekend from boot camp. And that's why David Maxson.
Yeah, David's down there. Yeah. And I saw some of the pictures. And it was good to see the two of them on a couch laughing at something I think they were watching on TV or whatever, so on Facebook. I saw several other hands. Yes.
My brother Carson fell and tore his knee up. I had surgery a couple days ago, so he's
going to
be laid up for a while.
Yes, we'll pray for Carson and his recovery for that. Yes. Just other hands I saw. Where'd they go? Here we go.
So many times I ask for prayers for other people, especially family members, but today I'm asking for prayer for myself, unspoken, but it's related to my job.
Yeah. For Jody this morning, and issues there with that job. Somebody else? Yes.
My friend Lisa, she just had some major surgery done, and she needs lots of
So we want to pray for Lisa, for recovery. Someone else? Yep.
Joy, yesterday. I went to my great-granddaughter's first birthday.
I kind of wondered if it was going to be great-grandkids when you started off and said Joy. And, wow, that's great. That's great. Somebody else. Okay, lots of them. Lenhart Kettler. I don't know if anybody remembers John Lenhart. He was Shelby County Sheriff for good 20, almost 30 years. His wife, who is like a second or third cousin to our family, passed away at 69. From what I didn't know this was going on with her, but from what it said, a long illness, and I'm assuming it was cancer. Yeah, and so ask for your prayers for the family, and it's the viewing and all that's going to be at Kettlerville Church, which I grew up in as a kid. So, but ask for your prayers for John and the family there, the Lenhart and Kettler family. Any others? Yes, a couple others. Thank you for that, because I think there's a few others that are traveling and are not with us this weekend. So, so thank you for mentioning that. And then I saw another. Yep.
Joy, I'm
Yep, and in the fields, I figure that this week maybe we're supposed to be having that 60 to 70 degree weather all week, and I have a feeling they're going to be out planting. So somebody was saying that there's already been some planting being done at their place. So somebody else? Anybody else? Well, lots of different needs there this morning, and it's kind of nice. I know on Easter we always kind of rush through and take less, but that we can take our time and spend some time in prayer for some of these needs and all that's involved there. And whatever need you may have brought in with you today that you couldn't share, that you would be willing to quietly lift that up to the Lord while she plays there in your seat, and then I'll come and close us out this morning. As we pause today, we're thankful for the beautiful weather that we've been having. And I want to just say thank you, Lord, for the blessing of our Easter service last week. The biggest crowd that we've ever had since I've been here in my 22 years. And God, for the blessings of that service and those that were touched and ministered to. Thank you for that, Lord. And thank you that no matter what we're facing in life, you never leave us or forsake us. And Jesus, we know that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are here with us. So we ask that you would just move amongst us today by your Spirit. Touch each one that's here, those that may have come in with needs or pain or hurt or something else. Lord, that you would just touch them now by your very presence and minister to them. Give them peace. Give them comfort. Give them your touch. Give them encouragement. Give them strength. Give them healing today in this place. Thank you that you call us by name and that we can follow you because you're so good to us and your grace and your mercy is just as vast as the universe. And so we're thankful for that. And Lord, as we lift up those that have been mentioned, we do want to pray for the various ones. We pray for Dex's dad and that move into the assisted living. Thank you that he is excited about that and being a part of a community there that he can interact with people and everything. But be with them as they have to do all the paperwork and all that's involved with the move and all that takes place in that. Lord, we continue to pray for those that need your touch or your healing or recovery today. We think of Georgia. We think of Greg. We think of Gene this morning. Lord, for Bretta this morning, for Jeff, for Carson today, God. And we just pray that your touch will be with them, your healing touch, your strength, that grace of recovery. And your presence to let them know that they're not by themselves during this time. Lord, we lift up Jody, who's going in for surgery in a few weeks for her hip. We pray that you'll just guide and direct and lead and bless there. We pray for Bretta, with this AFib, God, that you will just help them to be able to get that worked out, whether they're using medication or if they have to do other things. We just ask for your touch. We lift up Jody with his job. God, we pray that you would grant grace and faith. We pray that you would redirect hearts and in situation there, and give her your favor and grace in the midst of all that. And Lord, we thank you for that. We lift up these unspoken needs to you today, God, that you would meet those needs, and any others that may be here today that lifted up a prayer under their breath there during Carla playing, God, that we stand with them in those prayers and ask that you would move and work in those situations. We pray for those that are traveling, God. We lift up Lisa to you today, God, for your touch. Lord, we lift up our farmers who are going to be in the fields, have been and will continue to be this week during the planting season, that you'll just watch over them and keep them safe. Lord, we pray with what's happening in our world all over and on our own country, God. We ask for grace and mercy and wisdom and guidance, Lord, in all that's happening. And Lord, you're the only one that can change people's hearts and redirect situations and bring peace where there's conflict. And so we ask that you would grant that in your great, great mercy today. Thank you for this time that we can worship you as we open your word this morning and break that bread of life. May it feed our souls. May it bring faith into our hearts. And may we go out of here realizing how blessed we truly are with all the blessings because Christ was raised from the dead. And we do ask all these things now in his name, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Thank you for joining with us in prayer this morning, and pray the Lord gives you peace and touches you as you leave and continue to worship this morning and as you go into this new week. So we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. It helps to meet the needs of not only the local assembly here, but also as we reach out into the various ways in our community and around the world. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. let's join together for our prayer of dedication there in the bulletin. Generous one, may these gifts be a blessing, hope for despair, comfort for grief, encouragement for doubts, a balm for pain. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Well, our scripture reading today is coming from 1 Peter chapter 1. It's our lectionary epistle reading. And we're going to be reading verses 3 through 9, which is kind of the prayer thanksgiving part of the letter that Peter wrote there. So you can follow along on the PowerPoint. May the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be blessed. On account of his vast mercy, he has given us new birth. You have been born anew into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You have a pure and enduring inheritance that cannot perish, an inheritance that is presently kept safe in heaven for you. Through his faithfulness, you are guarded by God's power so that you can receive the salvation he is ready to reveal in the last time. You now rejoice in this hope, even if it's necessary for you to be distressed for a short time by various trials. This is necessary so that your faith may be found genuine. Your faith is more valuable than gold, which will be destroyed, even though it is itself tested by fire. Your genuine faith will result in praise, glory, and honor for you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you've never seen him, you love him. Even though you don't see him now, you trust him and so rejoice with a glorious joy that is too much for words. You are receiving the goal of your faith, your salvation. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word and our hearing of it today. And that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, a man approached a Little League baseball game one afternoon. He asked the boy in the dugout what the score was. The boy replied, 18-0, we're behind. Man, said the spectator, I bet you're discouraged. Without even thinking, the boy said, why should I be? We haven't even had the chance to bat yet. There's some hope right there. There's some hope. We're hanging on to hope. All people, in all places, and at all times, have two things in common. Trials and pain. Cultures ebb and flow, nations rise and fall, people come and go, but trials and struggles transcend all cultures, invades every nation, and translates its message of pain to each person who has ever lived. I mean, you don't have to live very long to not realize that. Obviously, we all face trials and distress in life. The question I want us to consider this morning is how does hope coexist with trials and pain? Our reading from 1 Peter offers a Judean prayer blessing. If you want to say Hebrew, that's fine. A barakah from Baruch, which means to bless the Lord. In Hebrew, and see if you know this word, eulogy in Greek. That highlights what we just read through, what God has provided for us through the resurrection of Christ. Now, my question for us this morning is, is the author off his rocker, or does he have something to say to us about hope today in our lives? I could go in a variety of ways, but I want you to think a little bit about it in this way. And I don't know if we often think about it in this way, but I'm hoping that this will be enlightening and help us in what we face through life. First of all, hope exists in God's blessings. Now, that's not as surprising to us. That's not surprising. And I don't want you to think of blessings in this situation as just money, a job, and all the things we have. I want you to think about it a little bit more broadly, and I'm going to talk about two of them here in a little bit more, and one of them, it's going to be expanded even more. Here's what I want you to see. As we lean into these blessings, in other words, as we live them and walk them out that we have received, they generate hope in us. I was really thinking about this. The way Peter writes it, and then the way I've kind of experienced in my life, the more I lean into those things, those blessings, and try the best I can in the power of the Spirit to walk in those, the more it generates hope in me. Now, what blessings does Peter specifically highlight? Well, I'm going to have us look at two, although one of them is going to be more. First of all, it's new birth from above. New birth from above. This new birth from above begins with faith and baptism because of God's vast mercy. I really like our Common English Bible's reading that I used today. A lot of translations say God's great mercy, but this is vast. And I start thinking, okay, yeah, God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. I mean, you know, that we sometimes say. But I want you to think about God's mercy as vast. And when I think of vast, when I read that word this week, I started thinking about the universe. Because scientists talk about the vastness of the universe that's ever expanding. And oh my gosh, I mean, here we were. Think about how long it took, how many days it took to circle the earth a few times, go out and meet and go around the moon on a farther out orbit that the moon was taking around the earth at the time. And they went around it, took pictures and came back in and circled and landed in the Pacific Ocean. And just think about that. Peter's wanting us to see that God's mercy is so great, so vast, that God gives us like a second birth, so to speak, that's heavenly oriented from above. And he doesn't stop there because he also says the seed of God's word helps to bring this about and the renewing power of the Holy Spirit. Let me just read a couple of them. One's going to be from Titus, but I'll read it to you anyways. 1 Peter 1:23, which is not part of our reading. Your new birth was not from any fragile seed. You know, the ones that fall into the ground and can rot and not produce anything. But from an enduring seed. And what's the enduring seed? The living word of God. Now, I don't know if you've studied Scripture carefully, but I don't want to say what is the living Word of God. I want to ask you, who is the living Word of God? Christ, the resurrected one, the risen one. And then Titus 3:5, because God was merciful, there's that language again, He saved us through the water of rebirth and the renewing power of the Holy Spirit. New birth from above. Hope lives. Second part of this is a living hope through Christ's resurrection. A living hope. Now this is the kind of the point of the whole message. But this living hope And think about it in this way, this living hope, it's not, as I've said so many times, oh, I just hope God will work this all out. Almost like, oh, it almost sounds a little bit, and I've shared this before too, about the gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression. No, hope is not that. Biblical hope is not this kind of, oh, maybe it'll happen. Or, this living hope is a, I'm going to define it here a little bit, a life-giving, vibrant, inward conviction that something will happen that gives us the ability to rejoice in our various circumstances. I think it was the Gaithers who used to sing this song, I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. Oh, no, I can't remember the rest of the words. But it's something about coming from heaven. The song goes on there. And so that's what we're talking about. Now, Peter doesn't just stop there. He didn't leave us hanging. He says there's two aspects of this enduring, unshakable hope that is there with us. And the first one is inheritance. Everybody wants to get an inheritance, don't we? We always think, well, our mom and dad saved up for years and they're going to give us some money, or a house or whatever it is, property or land, But here's what I want you to see that Peter talks about as children of God through rebirth. That's how we become part of God's family. We are already named in his will as inheritors of what God has in store for us. And because we're part of that family, that's a family that will not cease. So it's already there. It's already in the will. Just like for your family or your parents. You may have known this months before. You may have known it 10 years before. You're already in the will. And the same is true for each of us. We have an inheritance that will not be shaken. It's not going to disappear. It's there being held in the heavens for us, as Peter says. Second part of this is salvation. Now, you might be thinking, wait a minute, we already got that. Well, not the way Peter's talking about this. Because Peter's talking about final salvation. When our faith becomes sight, and we see, yes, those who await, who have faith in Christ, even though, as Peter says, even though we don't see him, we still believe, we still embrace hope, we still trust, we embrace all that God has for us. And this salvation, I'm going to expand your thinking a little bit. In the New Testament, the word salvation, sozo, means more than forgiving our sins and getting us to heaven. In fact, that's like a little tiny, teeny bit of what salvation means. Because salvation in Scripture includes rescue, healing, safety, restoration, and a state of well-being that dwells in us. Hope lives. So, these are the specific blessings that Peter talks about. And out of those, we have to remind ourselves, these are ours. The new birth from above. This living hope that flows from the resurrection Christ and has given us an inheritance and makes us a part of final salvation. Pushes us. It propels us to have hope when everything is not going well in life. Hope exists in God's blessings. Next thing is hope exists in perseverance. So we talk a little bit about what we have. Now we're going to talk a little bit about what we press forward in. Hope exists. The author doesn't leave us hanging. So what does he tell us to do? Persevere. God preserves us God preserves us. Now this is, as I was working on this week, and I've read this many, 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 many times and preached on this passage before. But I love the way it's said here, because basically Peter's saying we persevere through fiery trials since we have a rock solid future based upon God and Christ's faithfulness, and because we trust in them. We trust in them. But the thing is this solid future is based on something. Oh, where'd you go? There we go. This solid future is based on something. Let me get there. is based upon God's power that is at work within us as a garrison. Now, how many knows what a garrison is? You know what a garrison is? Yes, if you played any kind of role-playing games or military games, or you've had kids in military or anything like that, a garrison is a troop, a group of soldiers that oversee and garrison. They guard, they protect a certain place. And Peter seems to let us know that God's power is at work within us, garrisoning us. If that's even a term, I don't even know if you can say it that way. I'm turning the noun garrison into a verb is what I'm doing. That safeguards us. There's a good one. That safeguards us, stands watch over us, even when we face various trials. Man, I wish I could always remember these things when I'm going through my trials, because I usually don't. And I've told you that before. And this is cause for rejoicing, as Peter says. A rejoicing that doesn't always make sense in the midst of what we're going through. Hope lives. Persevere. Trials test our faith. Now, Peter's giving us something to realize. Hey, sometimes when we go through these times, there's more than meets the eye that's happening here. Okay? More than meets the eye. And he uses the example of gold. If gold's going to be worth anything, it has to be purified. And so it's put in a fire. You smelt or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. They probably called it something different in the first century. And it's heated and heated and heated and heated. And the smelters know that things are happening when all of a sudden this junk starts coming to the top. It's the impurities that was in the gold. And they scrape that off and throw that away. And what's left then is pure gold. Pure gold. So Peter says this testing of our faith is like gold being purified in the fire. So that gets me to my point. He says, sometimes when we're going through trials, we are being purified like gold. But it's not gold, it's us that's being purified. But he doesn't leave us hanging again. Thankfully, he says several things. Such testings only happen occasionally if necessary and last only for a little while. Now, if you're like me, you want the little while to be a few hours. But when it goes on for weeks, months, and years, it's hard, isn't it? You know, I was thinking about, and guess what? It was only a little over a month, maybe 2 months. But it was really bad for a month. It was when my back, that disc in my back protruded, and the protrusion laid on my sciatic nerve. And so the insurance companies run me through the whole thing. Well, you got to get physical therapy. Ah, that didn't fix it. Well, you got to get shots in your spine. Ah, that didn't fix it. Okay, we'll let you get an MRI now and you can get surgery. I already knew the answer the whole time. They didn't, but thankfully it ate up all my deductible. And when the when I had my surgery, that whole 20-some thousand the insurance had to pay. And I didn't. So, I don't know. I didn't like suffering because that pain got unbearable. And it was not easy. And that's just one little small thing. You've heard me talk about that. You guys have been through things too in life. But here's the thing. And I want you to think about this because we've been there. And this is one of the things I wanted to say off of what I just talked about, my pain. Yet even when facing such trials and pain, it's easy to feel lost and alone. And I felt lost and alone during that time, especially when it got really bad. Jody would come in and she'd see me crying. She says, "What's the matter?" And I said, "I feel like I have no control in my life right now. I don't know. Maybe that's what I needed purified from." I don't know the answer to that. However, the thing is, we must always remember as God is with us, like God's angel was with the three Hebrew teens in the fiery furnace. Remember that story from Daniel 3? Hey, didn't we throw three in that fire? Why is there four, and they all seem to be loose and walking around, and one of them looks like a god or a deity, which is, and then we're told a few verses later, it was God's angel. God is with us in the fire. And there ain't no fire or shackles that can keep him from doing what God wants to do in the midst of the fire with us. Here's the key. No matter the calamity, loss, pain, or trial, hope is alive when we recall God's blessings and we persevere knowing that God is preserving us, guarding us, enabling us to pass through the fire and march on. Hope lives. Amen and amen. Well, take a couple minutes there and shake a few hands, share the blessing, and then we'll close out with our little chorus, I live because he is risen. Sing it through twice this morning. I live because he is risen. I live with power over sin. Yeah, it is twice because there's two different sets of words through there.
You said one time.
Okay, yeah. We got that. I live because he is risen. I live with power over sin. I live because he is risen. I live to worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because you're alive. Because you're alive. Because you're alive. Oh, let's sing it all again. I live because he is risen. I live with power over sin. I live because he is risen. I live to worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, because you're alive, because you're alive, because you're alive, I live. I love that song. Well, let's join together for our benediction. God has given us new birth into a living hope. May we go forth on the path of new life and hope, and may the peace of the risen one be with us. Amen. Amen.